What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Still alive. Still alive for that 4-seed. John and Jim with you on the wrap-up show. Padres win over the Diamondbacks on Friday night at Petco, 7-4, a night that Fernando Tatis Jr., not only does he return, he hits a grand slam. And Yu Darvish shaky with the home runs, but the Padres win behind him with the offense, 7-4. So the path we now know, it would require two Padres wins coupled with two Cubs losses for the Padres to host that wildcard series at Petco Park. It remains unlikely, but possible, with 2 days to play in the regular season. Make your way in. Late night edition of the wrap-up show on this Friday. I am in Naperville, Illinois, in the concierge lounge. Jim is in San Diego. So let's talk about it. Subscribe. You're on content, as you know, for Padres fans. Help us get to 9,700 subscribers, please. Subscribe to this channel. We are just a couple of subscribers away from 9,700, so please subscribe. Smash the like button for us. You can follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. We appreciate the super chats. I think we saw the first of the night roll in from Hendrick. We'll get to that. We appreciate you, man. Click the dollar sign below the chat box if you want to control the direction of the conversation, if you just want to support the channel. If you want to become a member, you can click the join button down below. But Jim, the Padres get Tatis back. This, to me, is less about the 4-seed and more about playing well and seeing the things you want to see, whether from your starting rotation as you line up a rotation for the postseason, or seeing your offense with Ramon Laureano out show life. And they did that today. They win. Darvish was good enough, and the Padres live to see another day here in the National League for that 4-seed.
Yeah, if the 4-seed happens, it happens, but it's completely out of your control, and you're banking on the Cubs to lose – to a team they just beat today, like 12-1 or something crazy. Like, they just put a whooping on the Cardinals earlier today. And, you know, we'll find out before tomorrow's game if the Padres have a chance at the four or if the 4-seed is done. Because if the Cubs win tomorrow afternoon before the Padres game, then the Cubs will officially have clinched the 4-seed. But, you know, that to the side, I look at what happens tonight, or look what happened tonight, and see a Fernando Tatis Jr. coming back from apparently COVID and picking up right where he left off. You know, hits a home run on Sunday. He hits the grand slam today. He has 6 home runs total in the month of September. He hit 5 total home runs in June, July, and August combined. And we talked about this, like, hey, maybe once we get to September, you know, September last year, he had 7 home runs before the postseason, and then he went nuclear against the Braves and the Dodgers, and maybe that's just who he's going to be again. You know, there was a point in time where he had 18 home runs, and it was like, is he going to get to 20? And now he has a chance, if he plays the next 2 days, you know, he gets a chance of 25 bombs. Mm-hmm. You know, 24 homers right now, 70 RBIs, 32 stolen bases, 807 OPS. It's not the Fernando Tatis Jr. we have seen, but I mean, it's a pretty good season. It's not like elite by any means, but it's pretty good. It's pretty good. And to have Fernando Tatis Jr. be hot right before the postseason, that's fantastic. That's all you could ask for. And we hope that it, you know, carries over into October, whether it be at Wrigley Field or here at Petco Park. But, you know, seeing him at that grand slam, that felt pretty good to see.
I mean, not just the grand slam, the typical or prototypical Tatis swing and second deck and 410 feet. And by the way, against a good pitcher, I mean, the Diamondbacks aligned their starting pitching for this weekend. That was a really good sequence. Nine pitches. They just showed it again post-game on Padres.tv. And he did a really good job to fight off some good pitches from Zach Allen before winning that battle there and hitting that grand slam. And that's the whole game. I mean, the momentum of that swing. Yes, Arizona, to their credit, made this thing interesting because of all the walks there. Hart, Morgan, Miller comes on. It got dicey, but the Padres, to their credit, won this game 7-4. And let's get to this first super of the night because it's kind of on cue. Hendrick, we appreciate you, man. Thank you for your generosity. Guys, appreciate you hanging out. Please subscribe here on Content for Padres Fans, and thank you for the super chats. We're talking about a Padres 7-4 win and remaining alive here in the National League for the 4 seed. He says he'll hold out 4 seed hope until the Cubs win or we lose a game. Need to cut down the walk numbers. Tatis grand slam covers up the 3 strikeouts. Manny's still not Manny at the plate. Hashtag LFGSD. Remember, Tatis missed like a week. He's been dealing with COVID. Manny, we've talked about at length. I'm all for that way to look at it, by the way, Jim, like holding out hope. Why wouldn't you? We'll see what happens tomorrow afternoon, to your point, or late morning when the Cubs and Cardinals meet. I mean, they're bitter rivals. You never know. I know the Cardinals looked awful today. If the Cardinals somehow win tomorrow, I think there'll be some people that start to believe. So I think people throw it on, see what happens. I'm not expecting it. You need 4 things to go your way. It's like flipping a coin 4 times and hoping for heads all 4. That's hard. It happens, but it's hard. And that's where the Padres are right now with 2 days to go.
Yeah. They play tomorrow morning at 11:20 a.m. So we'll know well before tomorrow night's game. We got a 5:40 start. We'll probably know around 2-ish. Right. And so by the time they get to the park tomorrow, they'll know if they have a chance or not. And my guess is if the Cubs win, you'll see some guys get off days tomorrow.
Yep.
And they're not going to push it. If the Cubs lose, you're right. I do think they go, all right, let's see what happens. Now the interesting part is, think about this. All right. So I'm looking here on Sunday. Okay. Here's the interesting thing. Because you know Mike Schilt wants to give some guys off days this weekend, especially Manny Machado, who has been awful, continues to be awful. And I'm sure he wants to give other guys off days, and he doesn't want to use his main guys out of the bullpen. One of the big reasons why Mason Miller pitched multiple innings tonight, multiple innings, because he hasn't pitched in like 5 days.
5 days, right? Yeah.
So you know Mike Schilt's going to want to give some guys some rest and not have guys be pitching out of the bullpen to get ready for Tuesday. If the Cubs lose tomorrow afternoon and say the Padres win tomorrow night and it comes down to a final game on Sunday, well, both those games are going to be played at the same time. You don't have the luxury of waiting to see the result. So what are you going to do? Right?
You have no choice but to go for it.
You do. Right. So if you go for it and you don't get it, then you lost the off day for guys that you wanted to get rest to, or you get lucky and you hit the royal flush on the flop and you get to host a postseason series here at Petco Park. It's a risky thing because you don't know, and you want to give guys off days. Mike Schilt was pretty adamant about giving some guys off days and putting this team in bubble wrap until Tuesday. So we'll see, but that's the scenario that could absolutely happen tomorrow and Sunday. Everybody plays the same time on Sunday to make, you know, things crazier on baseball. And what are you going to do? Are you going to go 100%, go for it? And then what if you don't get it? You know, it's like, we went for it, we didn't get it, and we didn't give the guys any rest.
Yeah, but like, what are the, and I agree with everything you're saying, but like, what are the optics of getting to Sunday and being a win away potentially of hosting a series and playing Mason McCoy?
I'm not saying to do that.
So I don't think if you're not saying to do it, they're not saying they're going to do it. Tell me I'm wrong.
No, right? I agree. No
world. There's no world. You just can't do it. It's a risk worth taking. Like, some risks are worth taking. That's a risk with a day left in the season worth taking. There's no guarantee if you sit Manny on Sunday, he's better on Tuesday anyway.
Right.
So you'd like to sit Manny on Sunday, but if you can't sit Manny on Sunday, whatever. I mean, he's a career 215 hitter in the postseason. There's no assurance if you hit him on Sunday, he's going to hit 2 home runs on Tuesday and Wednesday. So I say life, sometimes you're rolling dice in, and the optics of resting when you're still mathematically alive won't be good. Here's the thing. That game starts, Cubs take a 6-0 lead, you manage accordingly. Cardinals take a 7-0 lead, you manage accordingly. So that's what I think will happen. But here's the thing. They still need help to even get to Sunday, because they need the Cardinals to beat the Cubs and they need to beat the Diamondbacks. Tomorrow, JD Gaucho, man, thank you for the super chat. Appreciate you guys hanging out. About 300 people here live on this Friday night. Please subscribe here on Content for Padres fans. And thank you for the super chats. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. He says, clock strikes midnight on the Diamondbacks playoff hopes. They weren't even supposed to be here. I mean, they're only here because of how awful these teams have been in the National League behind the Padres. I mean, the team that makes it as the final wild card is going to have very few wins. Right. To be in the postseason, it's not going to be Arizona. The fact that they've been eliminated gives me more confidence that the Padres will just find a way to win these next two games, and then we'll see about the Cardinals and the Cubs. But Diamondbacks sold off. They weren't supposed to be here. I think they're here because of the Mets' struggles, but it was almost like an inevitability. It would have been a shocking result to see the Diamondbacks in the postseason.
Yeah, and a team that sold to the deadline the way they sold, I mean, you don't deserve to make it. I'm sorry, you just don't. Same thing with the Giants when they sold at the deadline and they had this fake hot stretch, and like they didn't deserve to make the postseason. You know, now the Reds, they did buy at the deadline. Mets did buy at the deadline. I forget who the Mets traded for, but you know, it will be one of those teams that make it. Reds hold, you know, all the cards, because all they got to do is they just win and they're in. They don't have to worry about anybody else. And or they have to match what the Mets do, right? 1-1, 0-2, 2-0, and then they're in because they own the tiebreaker. Mets have really screwed themselves, really screwed themselves. They're playing a Marlins team that actually has been on fire. So, like, good luck.
It's insane. I mean, for the Mets to be on the outside looking in as good as they were a couple of months ago is
all the
just
money they spent.
Insane. HBBV, thank you, man, for the super chat. He says, for John's deep dish veggie vegan Chicago pizza. Thank you for the super chat. I actually did have pizza tonight in downtown Chicago. It was a bit of a fail, though. I did not have deep dish.
Are you serious?
I couldn't find it. You know me.
It's not
And I was
hard.
Hungry.
It's not
I just
hard.
I had normal pizza.
Was it okay? Was it good?
It was good. It was good.
Okay.
I don't know what the hell I was doing. I was by Wrigley. I thought there'd be 100 pizza places. There probably were. But I just popped into the first one.
You have a phone where you could literally type in deep dish pizza. So
I did not do that. I just walked the blocks that surround Wrigley, and I'm like, oh, I'll find a pizza joint. And I found a pizza joint, but it was home of like the mac and cheese pizza.
So what kind of pizza did you get?
It was pizza with tortellini on top.
Shut the fuck up.
I have pictures.
What is wrong with you? Pizza with tortellini, and you're in Chicago?
Hold on.
What? I literally just typed in deep dish pizza on my phone.
Look.
There's like 100. What is wrong with you? Seriously, what is wrong with you? I need you to post that. Went to Chicago, and I got a tortellini pizza. What is wrong with you?
It was a fail, dude.
It's a massive fail. Is that pesto tortellini, by the way?
It wasn't pesto. It's green. That's green tortellini and red and yellow.
What?
I mean, it was good. It was a fail. It was a fail. Next time I'm in Chicago, I'll do better. Dan's opinion. Dude. Thank you, man. No Suarez. Are you finding deep dish places?
Yeah, I found like 50 of them. All I did was type in deep dish pizza. There's three deep dish pizza places right next to Wrigley Field. You have,
what are they called?
Big G's.
I think that's where I went.
Big G's?
Yeah.
Okay. You have Lost, Never Found, but that looks kind of like a restaurant, Italian cuisine.
Yeah, I saw that restaurant.
You got Vines on the Clark, whatever. Demos Pizza, up till 2 a.m. I don't think they have deep dish there.
Well, listen, next time.
There's not – okay, next time.
You're right. We could all be dead.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Listen, when Padres fans make their way to Chicago, assuming that's the result, find deep dish pizza. Don't get tortellini pizza. Dan's opinion. Thank you, man, for the super chat. He says, no Suarez in a closed situation. A thoughts. I think this had more to do with getting Miller the work because he had thrown less recently than Suarez. Like, I'm pretty sure they just tried to get the Mason Miller work because he can't go 10 days between outings heading into the postseason. So I think they wanted to get Miller work is my assumption tonight.
And they haven't pitched him in how many days?
It was 5 days coming in. I think Suarez was like three or four days.
Yeah. So imagine not pitching Miller today or tomorrow or Sunday. And then the first time you see him again is Tuesday. That's like, what, 9 days, ten days? And by the way, he came in the game, and even like he did not look sharp. So, yeah, I'm totally fine with it. You'll probably see Suarez tomorrow. Maybe you'll see Miller on Sunday, just for like maybe an out, if they can give him that situation to get him, you know, tuned up, ready to go for the postseason. Same thing with Morahone. Same thing with Estrada. You're not going to see those guys a ton this weekend. Depending on where they're at.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you're right. I think they got to be careful. They got to get guys work. They should have a plan. I'm sure they have one. And potentially if the Cardinals win tomorrow, they're more aggressive when it comes to their plan. HBBV, we already got to this, and we just had a 20-minute conversation about it. I told Jim this, Ballpark Pretzel, thank you, says Motorola is loving this upcoming wild card series. Yeah. So the two teams that have Motorola patches – man, what a dream. I mean, if you're the Motorola executives, imagine that board meeting on Monday morning. Guys, Cubs and Padres, it's a dream scenario. But yes, they both have Motorola patches.
Serious question. Does anybody use anything Motorola ever anymore?
That's a great point. Is Motorola more like chips at this point, or is it still phones?
There's no chance there's a Motorola phone anymore. Like, I remember
I'm at their website, dude. They sell the Motorola Razr.
Stop. There's no one has the Motorola Razr anymore. No.
Nobody has it. I was all over Chicago. I didn't see one Razr.
I've been all over San Diego. I didn't see one Razr.
I didn't see one deep dish pizza place.
Hello, Moto. Yeah, that thing is so like 2002.
I almost want to pull up their website.
How do they have enough money to get not one but two jersey patches in baseball?
Yeah, you know, it's a great point. I wonder if they have any more, by the way. Like, look at these things. Let's be honest. What are we doing? Like, come on, guys.
I don't know anybody like, that has those that chooses to have them. I may have seen, like, celebrities that use them. But the only reason why the celebrities are using them is because Motorola is paying them to use them. No one actively goes out and is like, you know what? I want a Motorola phone.
It would be like if they had a BlackBerry patch.
Marty would love that.
You would love that. JD Gasher, thank you. Says you grinded but gave up quite a few hard hits. Well, that's kind of been the name of the game for you, Darvish, and Padres starting pitchers. They have given up so many long balls in the final 2 months of the season. The number of home runs the starters have allowed, it's got to be one of the highest totals in baseball from their starters over the last 30 or 40 games. But you can live with solo home runs, I would say. I think 5 innings, 2 runs. You're going to probably take that right now in the postseason. If he gives you 5 innings, 2 runs, you're going to ask your offense to do something. So it just is where he is, Jim. He's not going to be the Yu Darvish of 31 years old because he's no longer 31. So that's not my expectation.
So I put out a tweet that, of course, people were like, yeah, you're a fucking idiot. I said, yeah, I don't know about Darvish for game two on the road at Wrigley or a potential game three.
Well, who are you going to start? Jake Peavy?
Yeah, Randy Jones. And then you know he pitched well tonight. 5 innings, 2 runs. Of course, you take that anytime out. I'm not an idiot, but I will say, you know, I'm looking at his outings here in September: 4 innings, 4 runs; 5 2/3, 3 runs, which is good; 5 innings, 3 runs; 4 2/3, 2 runs; 5 innings, 2 runs. Not the worst in the world. Has a 4.81 ERA in the month of September. Okay. You know, He's got a 5.38 on the year. Okay. Numbers at Wrigley, I don't have them in front of me, but I'm guessing that they're okay or maybe even better than okay. I don't get me wrong. I like Yu Darvish a lot. But the one thing that does scare me with him is the home run ball. Yeah. And, you know, if the Cubs find their footing here, like, they're a home run hitting team. Now, they have dropped off significantly in the second half from their first half pace. Their first half pace was like, that's the best offense in baseball. I mean, their entire team, Seiya Suzuki, Kyle Tucker, PCA, like Swanson, everybody, the entire team, great, right? But yeah. Everybody. They have fallen off significantly in the second half. But I am concerned about Darvish and the home run ball. Giving up home runs in the postseason, man, it can change momentum like that. And for a team, the Padres, that don't hit home runs, you know, if Darvish gets a couple guys on and gives up a 3-run shot and you go down 3-0 in like the first or second inning, I mean, it's going to be tough for the Padres to scratch and claw back to score 3 runs there because they don't hit a lot of home runs. Now, they have hit some lately, for sure. And if Fernando Tatis Jr. continues to stay hot and Jackson Merrill, then guess what? There's your home run power. But it all depends, I feel like, on what happens game one. I think this whole thing is fluid. We'll see what Michael King does tomorrow. But if they lose game one, they might go Michael King game two. Or if they win game one, then they might go Yu Darvish game two. I just think this whole thing is fluid and nothing's set in stone until we find out what happens after game one, to be honest.
But didn't we learn a lesson last year in terms of throwing someone on 3 days rest? And Michael King, if he pitches on Wednesday, will be throwing on 3 days rest. And here's a guy that hasn't thrown all year. And they gave him 7 days rest earlier this month between his return start and his next start. So unless the plan tomorrow with Michael King is to go one inning, maybe two, I don't see how you can pitch him on 3 days rest. Like, I don't care if he throws 59 pitches tomorrow. Why would you think throwing him, not you, why would they think throwing him on 3 days rest would be beneficial? Did we not learn the lesson from last year with Dylan Cease? Have we not seen Michael King's ramp up be slowed? There's been no ramp up. I mean, he's been by and large ineffective, hasn't worked deep into games. We haven't seen him much since May 18th. Can you really ask Michael King to throw game two if he's pitching Saturday and working 3 or 4 innings?
How about this wrinkle? Dylan Cease game two. Talked to Kevin today. I don't know if you listened.
I did not.
It's okay. He mentioned they also do like Dylan Cease versus the Cubs at Wrigley because of his career numbers at Wrigley Field. And he also did mention it was a little curious to him why they went Darvish tonight and King tomorrow.
I think to that point, okay, well then both of those pitchers would be on full rest for game three and you pick your best option.
Right.
And maybe Cease ultimately is your game two starter, although Dylan Cease, I don't think is trustworthy like anything. The thing is, someone's going to have to start these games. None of them are fully trustworthy other than Nick Pivetta. So is it going to be determined if they win game one, it's one pitcher? If they lose game one, it's another pitcher? I don't know. Like, I'd probably feel better pitching Dylan Cease in game two up one game to none than pitching Dylan Cease in game two down one game to none.
I'm trying to find what
his career numbers are really there. By the way, you're not on your mic because I can hear your keyboard.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but you aren't on your mic.
Hello? Shit.
We're both off mic.
Hello?
Hi. Your mic has been screwed off for like 2 weeks straight.
Hello?
That sounds 1,000 times better. You were off mic for like a month. Where the hell is Jim? He's such an idiot. Hendrick, thank you. Says pitching wise, seeing how starters fare here is big. You're saying in the Arizona series? I mean, it's been big. I don't think it's just the. What are you doing?
I don't know.
When you enter StreamYard, you need to check your audio source.
I did. It changed on me.
No, you didn't sound like this when we've been talking. Anyway, we're fine now. We're fine now. He says, pitching-wise, seeing how starters fare here is big.
So it sounded like the – oh, my God. So it was
– You were on your laptop, Mike.
The whole time?
The whole time, yes, for the last 30 minutes. It sounded awful. I just thought it was my earphones. Where's my earphones? But then I hear you typing.
Shut up, Heat Grime, clown.
What'd he say?
Troll. All you do is troll.
What'd he say?
It's like, just log off, God almighty.
Would you have any reactions to this? Pitching wise, seeing how starters fare here is big. Is this big to you, this Arizona series, how these guys pitch?
Only if they pitch poorly.
Exactly.
Right. If they pitch well, it's like, okay, good. You should. But if they don't, then it maybe is a little cause for concern. Maybe.
This is funny. Thank you, Andrew. Let's get back to these comments in a moment. Do want to thank our title sponsor here on the wrap up show, Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance. If you have an insurance need, trust us. Go with Mark. Whatever it is, auto, home, renter's life, earthquake, whatever you need. I've got 3 insurance policies through Mark. You can as well. He's going to save you time and money if you ever need him. If you ever have to file a claim, he's going to be there for you and your family. He's been there for me and my family. We've worked with Mark for over 4 years on the wrap-up show. I've had insurance policies through Mark for over 4 years. So trust us when we tell you there's not going to be a better insurance agent when it comes to service and communication. He is going to be there for you day in and day out. He's a lifelong Padres fan. He is a native San Diegan. He is a huge supporter of this channel. He helped us get the channel off the ground over 4 years ago. So if you support this channel, please support our title sponsor. The next time you have an insurance need, click the link in the description down below, Mark Nimitz at Farmers.
Yeah, all his information is on that ticker below, mnimitz at farmersagent.com. And you reach out to Mark Nimitz, let him know that John and Jim from the wrap-up show sent you.
There's some funny comments in here. Let's get back to Hendrick. Thank you. It says Estrada and the home run ball. It's not Estrada and the home run ball. It's the Padres and the home run ball. Like, they, how many times have they fallen behind via a home run in the first inning in the last like 50 games? Like 20 times? Feels like it's been 20 times. Happened again today.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's an Estrada only thing.
I think it's a starting pitching thing because Estrada's not pitching in the first inning. Yeah, I think in the postseason, like starting out the game without giving up a home run, it's ideal. You don't want to do that. And it's going to be no different here at Wrigley Field. Getting through the first inning scoreless is huge. And Pivetta, I'm sure he'll be announced here tomorrow as the game one starter. Schilt said today that they were going to announce it soon and that, won't surprise anybody. So, yeah, I mean, the home run ball for starters here, it's been a problem. Now, it hasn't, like, completely killed them, but at times it has because it's like you're always down game after game after game. And at some point, it's just like, it just gets annoying.
What if they're like, I mean, everyone knows it's Pivetta. What if they're like J.P. Sears?
he told Barry Bloom today, by the way, dude, I know you didn't listen, but
I heard
you.
It.
Oh my
God. The thing with Bloom on Laureano.
Yeah. He's like, what happened to Laureano? And Schilt's like,
it's like, you mean 3 days ago when he broke his finger?
How did he break his finger? It's like a pitch. And Schilt was like being nice about it, but like, Barry, bro, like just hang it up, man. You're done. You're good. We're good
here.
Read
the article. Like, read the post-game article. Like, wasn't rocket science. Got hit.
Like, literally the worst.
Enzo, appreciate you, man. Guys, if you're here, 400 people here live, please subscribe. If you're here live or on replay, please subscribe. Help us get to 9,700 subscribers. We want to get to 10K. This postseason, we need your help. And thank you for the super chat. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. He says, Vasquez has probably pitched better than anyone not named Pivetta. I mean, he has thrown effectively, and he's coming off a very good outing. But, like, we have to ask ourselves, are you really pitching Randy Vasquez before Yu Darvish or Dylan Cease?
No.
Or Michael King? And we can answer it. It's not going to happen. Maybe it gives you a slightly better chance in some scenarios based on what we've been talking about, but it would be shocking, right, Jim, if that somehow came to be.
I would be utterly shocked. the only way you're going to see, I feel like, Randy Vasquez starting a game in the postseason is if, one, there's an injury, and two, even if there is an injury early on, like, probably not going to happen until at least the NLCS in a 7-game series. Now, it could happen in a DS because, you know, you need 4 starters there for, like, a game 4. But, I mean, with the off days in the NLDS, do you even need 4 starters? I'd have to, like, look at the schedule when it comes out and see how. Yeah, I don't think so either. So, yeah, I like Randy Vasquez. He's had a really good year. Without him, they don't make the postseason. But, yeah, you're not going to pitch him over Cease or King or Darvish.
Yeah, I agree completely. I saw a comment here from Frank who says the Padres still have the best bullpen. I mean, objectively speaking, I don't know if that's the case or not. I'm not saying they have a bad bullpen. I don't know if it's the best bullpen. I don't really have the wherewithal to tell you how the other bullpens in the postseason look heading into the postseason, but I do know what we've been watching play out. And I think outside of Mason Miller, there have been some hiccups in here recently. So you've got an amazing pitcher in Mason Miller. You have a great pitcher by and large in Adrian Morahone. And then I think there's been a fall off. I mean, are you trusting Jeremiah Estrada this postseason? I'm not. Are you trusting Robert Suarez? You're going to trust Robert Suarez, but you know that he can get hit. David Morgan, I'm not trusting David Morgan. I'm sorry. In high leverage spots. And there's some other guys that have been effective. Don't get me wrong, but is this baseball's best bullpen? They might have baseball's best reliever in Mason Miller. Maybe they have 2 of the top 5 in Miller and Morahone. I don't know if it's the best bullpen or not heading into.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Postseason.
Well, we're going to find out how good this bullpen is. Kevin today said that the thinking is, and what he's heard, is that they're going to be leaning on their bullpen heavily to start.
So, what does that mean? What does that mean with Pivetta going game 1? I mean, you're going to ask Pivetta to go 4?
No, but if you get 5 from Nick Pivetta and they lead, you know, 3-2, and he's thrown 92 pitches, you're probably going to your bullpen.
Who's your first guy out of the pen in that scenario?
Well, I mean, it depends on matchups.
Well, whatever. Just How would you navigate the final 12 outs of a game potentially? Would you do it with three relievers for 12 outs? Would you do it with four?
If it were me, and again, and this is why I'm not a manager in baseball.
I would go Mason Miller for 12 outs.
But I know the bridge getting to the back end is always the most difficult. But, you know, where would you rather have Adrian Morejon? Pitching for you in the sixth or pitching you for you in the seventh?
Like you said, that's probably more matchup dependent.
Right. So it's a matchup. Yeah, because Mason Miller most likely is going to get the eighth, right? Or he's going to get, you know, the final out of the seventh into the eighth. And then you're going to see Robert Suarez get the ninth. Yeah, I think they're going to try to make this a five-inning game and lean heavily on their bullpen. Wandy Peralta is another guy that I see getting time out there in the wild card round. You know, when they have a lead, they're going to use five guys. Four guys, but, you know, for sure, but maybe five throwing Wandy Peralta because I think Schilt does trust him. And maybe it's a conference. Maybe it's more or less like we're going to lean on our bullpen heavily starting in game two. At least that's the thought. Maybe that they want to lean more heavily on their bullpen in game two because they trust Nick Pivetta. Now, if it goes sideways for Pivetta in game one, then again, things have to change on the fly. Sometimes nothing's perfect in the postseason. Your plan going into a postseason game could be blown up in the first inning.
But that's where you get screwed because if Pivetta really didn't have it and he wasn't effective and he only went a couple of innings, you're going to run into some issues with how you can use these high leverage guys. Yes, it's the postseason. I get it. The season ends potentially after 2 days. But I'm hard-pressed to imagine you're going to throw Mason Miller 44 pitches in game one and then rely on him again in game two. You know, so, yeah, there's going to be an onus on Nick Pivetta to give you 4 2/3 innings or more is my point. Because if you only get 3 innings from Nick Pivetta, and there's no reason to think you'd get 3 innings from Nick Pivetta, but if he only gave you 3 innings, you're running into issues not just in game one, but you're running into issues for potentially games 2 and 3 if it plays out like that. Yeah, it's kind of fascinating. I mean, I'm just expecting it to be obviously at this point at Wrigley Field. I think the Padres are expecting it to be at Wrigley Field, but you never know. And you know, if there's anything that's a positive here with Laureano out, you saw the stats post game. Like, O'Hearn is hitting right now. Yep. We'll see if they can get Sheets going. Arise has 4 hits today, right? Bogaerts had a couple of hits today. Like, they scored 7 runs in this game. I know it hasn't been a constant. They have not constantly or consistently been scoring 7 runs. But you mentioned the slug. They've hit for power, more power. In the second half of the season. My point is, I think offensively there's enough there if they just perform. We've seen it from Tatis. We've seen it recently from Merrill. We've seen it from Arise here recently. He's been red hot over the last 14 or 15 games. So I think there's enough there if they produce where they don't have to have Nick Pivetta go 6 innings of one-run baseball. They don't have to have Yu Darvish go 5 innings of one-run baseball. They just need to perform at the plate, which is something at times we've seen, but we haven't seen it with consistency.
Yeah, I am – as curious as you all are out there to see what this team looks like come postseason time, right? Because the easy answer is, oh, they're going to lose to the Cubs because they're not a good road team and they haven't beat any good, you know, teams on the road this year. And that's all true. They're 1-10 in road series against playoff teams this season, which is not great. Now, if the Mets don't make it, then they're only 1-9. And I don't know what they did against the Reds on the road.
They lost.
Okay, so
there you go. 2-3.
1-10. There you go. I have no idea what they're going to look like. And I wouldn't be surprised with it going either way. I wouldn't be surprised with them looking great. And I wouldn't be surprised with them looking awful.
Completely. I mean, I go back to like the conversation we've had in the second half of the year about their identity. Mm-hmm. I don't have still a great feel for the identity of the Padres. Is it starting pitching? I don't think so. I hope that's not their identity. Is it their bullpen? Well, it was for a period of time. They lost Jason Adam. They haven't been the same bullpen. since early in the season or even August 1st where they were, is it their, it's not their slug, even though they've hit for more power.
Right.
You know, their lineup has improved, I guess, in the second half of the year. They love their small ball. I mean, is their identity small ball? I hope not. It probably is. At the end of the day, that's probably their identity. They'll get guys on, get them over, try to get them in, play good defense. Right. That's probably their identity. I don't know if it's going to work at Wrigley Field against a high-powered offense and a good pitching staff in Chicago. But, yeah, I mean, for me, it's hard to kind of label this team in terms of how I don't know, like how they operate, what they're like modus operandi, if that's a word, what their MO is.
I mean, they're just a completely different team at home than on the road. Completely. Sure. And I'll just do this right now. So other than the White Sox series, I can't even count that series. White Sox suck. All right. And I'm not counting the Rockies series either. So dating back to, you know, we got middle of August when they got swept to Dodger Stadium. Swept to Dodger Stadium, lost 2-3 to Seattle, lost 2-3 to Minnesota, lost 2-3 to the Mets. I mean, that's just, you know, and even you go back further. Like, yeah, they swept the Giants at home or on the road. That's great. They took 2-3 from Arizona. That's great. You know, splitting with St. Louis on the road. Losing 2-3 to Miami on the road, losing 2-3 to the Reds on the road, losing 2-3 to Philadelphia on the road, losing 3-4 to the Dodgers on the road, losing 2-3 to Arizona on the road, splitting four game series with the Giants on the road, getting swept on the road by Toronto, losing 2-3 to the Yankees, losing 2-3 to Detroit, losing 2-3 to Houston, losing 2-3 to the Cubs. That's a lot of series losses on the road this year for the Padres.
But let me ask you this, and I agree, but you know what I'm going to say? Is losing 2 out of 3 to Detroit, is losing 2 out of 3 to whomever, is it relevant?
No, it's not. You're right. It plays no factor into their upcoming series with the Cubs if it's at Wrigley Field. I'm just looking at trends, and I'm just saying to myself, like the trend of them on the road this year has they've been a bad team on the road.
Terrible. I completely agree. Against good teams, they're worse than bad against good teams. They're worse than bad. I'm in the concierge lounge at the Marriott Naperville in Illinois on the 7th floor if you want to swing by. We do want to thank our friends over at Lucky Box. The next time you get to a Lucky Box, you can get to one in Chicago. If you're coming here next week, if the Padres are here, in O'Hare is a Lucky Box. If you use our promo code Tag Us, get $5 off. The promo code is Padres. Not that hard to remember. Promo code is Padres, all lowercase, P-A-D-R-E-S. Take $5 off. I ended up with the Fernando Tatis Jr. Auto 10 in Vegas when we saw a Lucky Box machine and both gave it a try. I ended up with that Auto 10 from Tatis. You could end up with like a signed Messi jersey. You could end up with signed cards from Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. I mean, there's everything in these machines. They're incredible. Take $5 off with our promo code. Find out where the machines are located. They're throughout Vegas. They're coming to Southern California. They're in Chicago, New York. They'll be in the everywhere. They'll be everywhere before you know it. But if you want to find out where they are, click the link in the description down below. Get $5 off with our promo code PADRES, all lowercase.
Yeah. Also, if you want to become a loyalty member to get insider perks, you can get early location drops and opportunities to win signed memorabilia for free. Just sign up on their website, luckyboxvending.com. That's luckyboxvending.com. It's free of charge. Like I said, you can get early location drops, you can get insider information, and you can get opportunities to win some signed memorabilia. Just sign up at luckyboxvending.com.
I'm just trying to envision, like, I wonder, honestly, like what we talked about earlier, like, what do you think Mike Schilt and AJ Preller, they are obviously texting or talking every day, especially now. Like, I do wonder what they're saying internally about how this is playing out. Like, is there a belief that this is possible? And what I mean by is this possible, I'm talking about the 4 seed and a home playoff series. Are they treating things any differently tonight as they prepare for tomorrow or not? Are they waiting on that Cubs result? My guess is they're waiting on that Cubs result, to your point. Yeah. If you know the Cubs have won, that completely changes everything for tomorrow night. Right. I'm giving someone a blow, if it's Manny or whomever, or maybe multiple, and then I'm going to treat my bullpen potentially differently. But if the Cardinals win tomorrow, I think it's the A team, and you live to see. I mean, it's kind of crazy they haven't been put out of their misery, so to speak. I'm talking about the Padres for the four seed. I mean, the Cubs down the stretch, I think, are 2-5 in their last seven, or 2-6 in their last eight. So they have at least opened a door that I didn't think was possible to be open. The Cubs had a 6-game lead, I think, at one point in the Padres with about 10 games to play, and it's been whittled down a couple of times, and here we are. But you just went through the great song and dance about what home means to the Padres. So if it means that much, you better be doing freaking rain dances and praying that the Cardinals beat their rival tomorrow right here in Chicago.
Yeah, I think home field, if they were to get it, would be ecstatic. Now, that doesn't mean that they're just automatically going to win that series, but like we've talked about, the team at home compared to on the road this year, it feels like a night and day situation. I mean, completely different. That's not to say that they can't win on the road in the postseason against the Cubs. When you think about it, and I was thinking about this, you know, during the game today, is can you start your postseason 3-2 on the road? That means you win the first series. Well, yeah.
Well, you have to win the first series.
You have to win the first series. But that would mean you take 2 of 3. And then you split on the road in the division round in Milwaukee. Can you do that? Is that too much to ask to you know, go 3-2 on the road, splitting in Milwaukee in the division round and taking 2 of 3 from the Cubs at Wrigley? Is that out of the realm of possibility?
Of course not. Of course not. No.
Right. So So when you put it like that, it doesn't feel as daunting. But if I told you, you know, if the Padres were to advance to the NLCS, they would have to advance by playing 8 of 10. Well, actually 6 of 8 on the road, and then the first 2 of the NLCS would be on the road as well. If they don't face the 6 seed. So like 8 of their first 10 postseason games, potentially, if they go the max in the wild card and the division round, would be on the road.
I mean, that doesn't give me the utmost confidence that right, would be their path.
Right. So if you put it that way, the confidence level is not very high. But if I put it the way that I did with like, hey, can you go 3-2 on the road to start the postseason by taking 2 or 3 from the Cubs and splitting in Milwaukee? Doesn't feel like that's that daunting.
I mean, I will say this. It goes back to the point about the division. All these Dodger fans coming in here over the last 48 hours, oh, we won the division, you didn't. I'm like, well, do you have a better chance to reach the NLCS by winning the division or by being the 4 seed or the 5 seed? And I probably would argue the 4-5 is a better chance to get to the NLCS, because the Dodgers, even if they beat a team with only 83 or 84 wins like the Reds, they got to go to Philadelphia without home field.
Yeah.
And that's not an easy series for anyone, including LA. It wouldn't be easy for San Diego. So you tell me, would the Dodgers prefer to play the Cubs and the Brewers, or would the Dodgers prefer to play the Reds and the Phillies? Now, again, you got to make it out of the first round becomes the problem. And from the Padres seat, you got to do it on the road in all likelihood, and the Dodgers don't. But I could certainly make the argument if they beat the Cubs in that wild card series, the Padres have a quote unquote easier or better path to the NLCS than the LA Dodgers.
Dylan Cease is ready for the Dodgers.
Good. Then he's ready for the NLCS. I appreciate him hanging out here tonight.
No, I get the path conversation.
I'm a path guy. I'm a path guy over. It's like the NCAA tournament. I'd rather have the easier, like, seed. Yeah. I don't care if I'm a 4 seed or a 5 seed. I'd rather play the weaker team.
Yeah. But here's the deal. Come Sunday night, 100% of the focus is on the Cubs series and nothing else.
And the NLCS. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
And the World Series.
Yeah, and the World Series.
Yeah, no, I can't wait for Sunday night. I really can. I mean, we know the opponent, but we don't know the location. We don't know the time. I love that stuff. I need to see the times for the 4 wild card series. I need to see the locations for all the series. I need to see the matchups. Are any other matchups set, Jim, in baseball other than Padres Cubs? American League. I know it's not the National League because of the 6 seed.
Let's see here.
I don't think anything's determined.
No, nothing's determined yet.
Isn't that crazy? 2 days left.
Crazy.
2 days left.
Detroit is 1-9 in the last 10, and they're clinging on for dear life to that sixth seed. And the funny part is if they were to get the sixth seed, they would go right back to Cleveland. So they would play Cleveland, what, six times in a week?
Nine games? Don't you feel like they have no shot to win a series in Cleveland in the playoffs?
No shot. But here's the thing. While I give the Padres – I mean, if you're looking at this mathematically here, what, 30% chance to beat the Cubs on the road?
Higher,
40?
I would say 40.
Really? Okay.
I mean, yeah, I see your point. I think you're saying 30, and you might be right because you're saying they just can't be good teams on the road. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because of that fact, I'd probably lower it off 40 to like 30, high 30s. But you know what I mean? Like, is there really that much variance between the Chicago Cubs and the San Diego Padres that would have them win more than 6 out of every 10 times?
No.
Because if they don't, then they have a 60% chance of winning.
Right. You put these two teams on a neutral field.
Probably like 55-45 or 50-50.
Exactly. It's all about home field here because you got the Cubs who are a great home team and you got the Padres who are a great home team. Now Cubs are a better road team than the Padres, but if you told me the Cubs were coming here, I'd feel confident.
I'd feel very confident.
Yeah, going on the road, I don't feel that confident. But at the same time, I'm not gonna sit here and be like they have no shot. They absolutely have a shot. And would I be surprised if they pulled it off and beat the Cubs 2 out of 3? Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I agree. And you're right. If it is 30-40%, well, that happens. I mean, things happen sometimes. You know, 35% is not nothing, or 40% is not nothing. So the home field, if they were playing here, the Padres would be a pretty overwhelming favorite, would be my guess. If this series is a bet go. And my guess is, to your point, they'll be a somewhat sizable underdog. They'll be an underdog if they're going to Chicago.
They're 50-29 at home this year.
Is that good?
I mean, that's elite stuff right there.
Yeah, how many teams are better than that? Well, how many teams have more than 50 home wins?
Milwaukee, Philadelphia, the Dodgers, Toronto, Seattle. That's it.
Okay, so they're one of the top six.
Yeah, one of the best home teams in all of baseball.
And they can still win two more.
And they're the five seed, potentially.
And they could still win 52 games at home. They could be 52-29. One of the best seasons in Padres history.
Yeah, presumably. Dodgers finished 52-29 at home this year.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, the difference between 52-29 and 5 games under 500 or whatever they are on the road is
38-43 on the road this year. Not good.
Yeah. No, I mean, if they can somehow backdoor into it, it would just be an incredible result. Guys, get to Petco Park this weekend. Simple as that. Final time potentially to see the Padres at home. We know in the regular season. Hopefully they get back home in the postseason, whether it's next week for the wild card or the week after for the NLDS. But get there this weekend and use our promo code PADSWRAP. That's PADSWRAP. You're going to get $20 off your first order of $50 or more with our friends at SeatGeek. You heard me right. That's $20 off your first purchase of $50 or more with promo code PADSWRAP. Just click the link in the description to download the app and have the code automatically added to your account so you can use it later. We do want to thank our friends over at SeatGeek. You can get there on Saturday late afternoon, and you can get in for 50-something bucks, okay? 55 bucks, you're in. Two tickets, $110 with fees. Take $20 off. That's $90 for two tickets. That's $45 a person with fees. I think that's pretty good value for a Saturday night at Petco Park, potentially the final Saturday to see the Padres in 2025. So take advantage of that offer. Click the link in the description down below and use our promo code PADSWRAP.
Yeah, and SeatGeek's MLB's official ticket marketplace. So your tickets are fully guaranteed, instantly fulfilled in your account after purchase. Just use our promo code, as John said, PODSWRAP, for your very first purchase of $50 or more for $20 off tickets at SeatGeek. The promo code, once again, is PODSWRAP, PADSWRAP. You know, I don't want to be like a complete downer, but yeah, hello, Moto.
Hello, Moto.
But if Darvish were to start game two,
okay,
and if, knock on wood, this doesn't happen, obviously, if the Padres were to get swept next week, mm-hmm, tomorrow is your last chance to see Michael King in a Padres uniform. Sorry.
Why are you such a downer?
Sorry. Not going to happen, guys. I don't believe that's going to happen. I really don't. I don't see... Like, I could see the Padres losing this series, obviously, just like I could see the Padres winning that series. But what I couldn't see happen is if the Padres went out very quietly, if they lost, like, 5-1 and, you know, 6-2 or something.
I can see anything.
I know, but that of the scenarios would surprise me the like most. That would surprise me the most.
I agree. I mean, it's not like they're usually listless in back-to-back games in general. In general, I don't think they're normally listless, like incompetent.
They have shown that.
Well, that's why I say it's impossible to say anything over a short sample size, like 2 or 3 games, can happen. Mm-hmm. Like over 162 games, not anything can happen. But over 2 or 3 games, anything can happen. So if the Padres go out and win 9-1, 9-1, will it be surprising? Of course. But, I mean, it's baseball. Just like if they lose 9-1, 9-1.
It's so, I 100%. You know. I just don't. I don't know, man. I feel like the series against the Cubs is going to go 3. I think they're pretty I think that both teams are pretty evenly matched.
I agree.
I don't see the Cubs just like steamrolling the Padres. I don't see the Padres steamrolling the Cubs, especially on the road. I see this thing going 3. Obviously, I'm taking the Padres.
You're not taking Cubs in 2.
No, I'm not taking the Cubs in 2. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what to expect. But again, I would be of all the scenarios, the one I would be the most surprised with is if they just like if game one, whoever pitches game one, say it's who's their good pitcher, the guy that left?
Jack Horton or whatever his name is.
Horton?
I think it's Horton.
Yeah, if Horton went out and he goes, you know, like 8 shutout, game's like 2 hours and 5 minutes long, Cubs win 4-0, and then game 2 with Matthew Boyd, it's like a 2-hour, 10-minute game, Cubs win 4-1. It's like, what the fuck? Like, it just goes like that.
Well, you mentioned something interesting there. Remember, the Padres will begin the postseason on a 24-inning scoreless streak. So I don't want to continue that conversation.
No, I don't want to either.
You just mentioned before nothing. Like, you're going to have to score in game one. That narrative's got to end immediately. You cannot get shut out in game one of the postseason this year.
No, and it would be wise for them to go out and do exactly what they did in 2022, which is be the first team on the board on the road. Put the pressure on the Cubs. You know, you had an unlikely hero in game one off Max Scherzer with Josh Bell in that home run.
Right.
Can you get another potentially unlikely hero in game one against the Cubs to jump out to that early lead? And we'll break it more. We'll break it down more as the you know, we get to closer to Tuesday. But like, that's how you put pressure on and you win series on the road in the postseason. Is, you know, you have that unlikely hero. It's like, holy shit, Freddie Freeman just did a 2-run homer. Like, what? To give the Padres a 2-0 lead in the third inning.
Well, it'll be Elias Diaz, probably, with Nick Pivetta on the mound. And he has run into some balls, truthfully.
He has.
This year. Eric, appreciate you, mate. He's gifted a membership here.
Thanks,
to
Eric.
Those in the show here tonight. So if you want to become a member, you can get listen, it is postseason baseball. You want to become a member. And you basically need the Cortez the Killer emoji.
Why?
For the postseason. If he's activated. It's unlikely, but you never know. If you want the custom emojis, there's more than this. There's like 15 or 20, but here are 5 of them. 5 guys, Rockstar. Shoot, 5 guys is now 4 guys. But you get
the everything's point. All messed up. Maybe we should change those.
Dude.
What? 5 guys is not a thing anymore. Nestor Cortez is not going to pitch again for the Padres.
5 guys is a thing. You just got to include Juan B. Peralta.
The Furminator is just blah.
Average. No, Furminator's good, dude.
Okay.
It's fine.
You need
Look at this, Hendrick. Let's get a membership train going here. Postseason starts in 2 days. Thank you, guys.
You should make a emoji specifically for the Cub series.
Okay, well, what do you want it to say, Jim? I will.
Cub Busters.
I'm fine with it. Is that a good one?
Well, it brings you back to 1984 when the Padres played the Cubs, And the rallying cry was Cub Busters. I learned that today from Adrian Garcia Marquez, who was on the station and talked about that specifically.
Kristen has the t-shirt from a vintage store that says Cub Busters.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to Cub what other Busters. Emojis? What, okay, members. What? Give me three emoji ideas. Put it in the chat. And if you become a member, I'll have them for you by the postseason. How about that?
Okay.
Cortez the meatball thrower.
Yes.
Oh, Captain David Morgan. Yes.
We're going to need some guys that are actually going to play a crucial role in the series.
Yeah, our Captain Morgan is our
It's a very player. Good nickname. Don't get me wrong, but David Morgan's not pitching the eighth inning of a one-run game in game two of the the wild card series, whatever.
Let's all watch this and see if Oregon State beats Houston at the buzzer on a field goal. Blocked. Overtime. Dude, that's for another day. It's a good thing we're not doing an Oregon State wrap-up show. They've had 10 field goals blocked this year.
How about this? Arizona State taking care of TCU in the Virginia-Florida State game? Like, what?
Incredible night of college football, and tomorrow's a ridiculous day of college football.
Just oh, my gosh. Matchup. Oh, my gosh.
Look at that lineup.
Look at that lineup.
Cortez, the killer of Leeds. Cortez delivers. I love this.
Oh, that's good.
It's all good. Okay, you want Cub Busters? I'll do Cub Busters. But I kind of want to get a couple of them made. So someone tell me, Tatis goes deep dish? What else do you have for Chicago?
Tatis goes deep dish. That's a good one.
It's kind of good. Something about deep dish, maybe. JD Gacha, thank you. Says Dodgers should have won the last series versus Philadelphia. I'll take my chances with them if Roky, Kershaw, and Robleski or Sheehan are bullpen arms. Okay.
Dude, of course, Roky Suzuki has turned into some dominant fucking pitcher out of the bullpen for the Dodgers.
Of course.
You see what he did tonight, right?
I have no idea what he did tonight.
One inning, two strikeouts, made Kyle Raleigh look like foolish.
Do you think he's going to win the Cy Young?
Probably not.
First two innings this year?
Probably not. Blake Treinen sucks. Tanner Scott sucks. And is Blake Treinen the biggest clown on the Dodgers? I want to say yes. Like, of all the Dodgers that I think are just, like, complete douches, I think Blake Treinen's up there for me. Obviously, Max Muncy. But, again, I don't think it's a Dodger thing.
Oh, yeah, you got ripped for doing that the other day.
Yeah. Sorry. I don't care.
Somewhere I saw some comment, like, is this a Dodger channel?
Oh, yeah, and I said, thanks for watching, clown.
All right, thank you, JD, gotcha. All right, I do want to remind you guys, take advantage of our offer at Underdog Fantasy. Use our promo code PODSWRAP, that's PADSWRAP. You get three offers going on right now with our promo code PADSWRAP. Click the link in the description down below. Get $50 in bonus funds when you play $5, okay? Get a 50% deposit match up to $1,000 and get a free gimme pick. And a free gimme pick is like higher or lower than a half rushing yard for Saquon Barkley or higher or lower than a half plate appearance for Fernando Tatis Jr. They're giving it to you. Pair it with another pick and you can win up to 5,000 times your money in a single night. So it's the best and easiest place to play. You can win hundreds, if not thousands of dollars in a single night. Get $50 in bonus funds when you play $5. Get a 50% deposit match up to $1,000 and get that free gimme pick when you use our promo code. Click the link in the description down below. The promo code is PODSWRAP.
And the QR code here, if you scan it, will take you to the App Store. Download Underdog Fantasy. Use our promo code to sign up. Start playing today.
Who's this Heat Grim guy, by the way? I'll put it back in timeout.
No, just keep. It's fine. Who cares?
Okay. It's not Maria. I think I put you in timeout because you were annoying. No, I didn't hit up Terminal 1 because I was on the charter.
You flew on a charter. Look at you, mister.
Look at me. Wow. JD Gastro, did you see David Vasse's postgame interview with Kershaw? Jim, were you watching? Were you watching that postgame live?
No, I was not watching that.
What happened?
I don't know.
No, we didn't see it, believe it or not.
Yeah.
We did not. All right, let's do this again Sunday night, because guess what happened Sunday night? We know
postseason baseball is upon us.
We will wrap the weekend and look ahead.
Finally. Finally.
Cubs and the Padres in San Diego, or the Cubs and the Padres right here where I am in Chicago at Wrigley Field. So join us Sunday night, 9:30 Pacific. We will have you covered for the postseason. The 2025 postseason is days away. The Padres are in. We'll find out where they are playing. We know who they are playing. We'll find out where they are playing either Saturday or Sunday. So as we've been telling you for forever, please subscribe to this channel. We really do appreciate your support. Another season coming to an end. Please subscribe. We're trying to get to 10,000 subscribers. We could use your support, whether you're here live or on replay. Please subscribe to the channel. Smash the like button for us. Follow us on X at John Schaefer and Jim Russell SD. If you're here on replay, thank you for the super thanks. We really do appreciate you. And also, if you want to become a member, we're going to have new emojis for the postseason. I promise you that. Become a member right now or today, or when you're watching on replay, click that join button down below. Support our partners. I'm watching this. Is this game in overtime? It is. I need to sign off so I can watch this thing. Support our partners, Mark Nimitz of Farmers Insurance, our title sponsor, our friends at Humboldt Casino and Lucky Box, our friends at SeatGeek and Underdog Fantasy as well. Padres win on Friday night. Fernando Tatis Jr. hits the grand slam in his return. We'll catch up Sunday night. We'll know a lot more about the postseason at that point. And for Jim, I'm John. This has been the wrap-up show. Thanks, guys.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.